Hello, I'm Howard and welcome to the 93-20 Review Podcast, the show that can relax a bit after City extended their lead over United to 19 points. We're looking back at the much-needed and rather fun 4-1 thrashing of Aston Villa that keeps City well in the treble chase, and gets that feel-good feeling back, and weirdly presents City the possibility of going top on Saturday for a couple of hours at least. That's if Sheffield United don't lose 10-0, which of course they will on Thursday evening. To discuss the game and more, delighted to be joined at this early hour by two big hitters, as always. It's Eysan and it's Dom Farrell. Eysan, good morning.
Morning, Howard.
How you doing?
I'm in a spectacular mood. I'm in a peptacular mood.
Yeah.
It's just the fillip that we needed last night.
Nice. See what you've done there.
You see what I've done there?
Yeah. I know. Worth an 8:15 kickoff, was it? Yeah.
Absolute 9:15. It was absolutely worth a 9:15 kickoff.
I mean, they've came up with that idea of 8:15 kickoffs, and then 8 a.m. podcasts. I don't know. Oh well, it's good to be up for you after a performance like that. So, Dom, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, the 8 a.m. podcast is kind of my fault, but
I know
if it's gonna lead to such a pun heavy opening, I mean, yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, I did on my Derby report, I did put "Come on, fill the noise."
I like it.
So yeah, it's all low hanging fruit, and I'm there for it.
Should we have a fill pun amnesty now to get them all out of the way?
I think we might have got them all out of the way.
I think we have.
Oh no, there's plenty more where that came from.
Oh, excellent! I like it.
I'll be honest, I love earlier podcasts, so I love to be forced to get up as well. So it's just pretend moaning. It's the 8:15 kickoff I'm annoyed about, because you don't get home to about 11:30. Even that I can't moan about, because there's now direct trams to Altrincham from the Etihad. So, but yeah, some competence has broken out at City. But having said that, some incompetence. I hope you enjoy this segue. Before we talk about the football, Dom, the ongoing PR disaster class from our football club continues with 1894 and that banner about ticket prices that was banished, is the only way to say, from the game before the game against Arsenal. Just give us an update, what you tell us off air about what actually happened last night then. Because City, once more, just need a normal human being as part of their PR department, to be honest, because they honestly put their foot in it sometimes.
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, for full disclosure, I wasn't at the game last night, so I wasn't in the press room and hearing some of these back and forths and where this might have come from, but it all seems fairly clear and cut and dry to me. Just coming up to 6:10 local time, Sam Lee tweeted that there wouldn't be an 1894 group display at the Etihad because 1894 members had their accreditations removed following the protest banner on Sunday against the record profits, record prices banner. Those accreditations are basically, along with the match tickets that 1894 will have, that is basically to get them into the ground before the turnstiles open so they can set up their displays. Those things don't just happen by magic. They sort of go in there way beforehand and stick things in. The accreditations had not been returned to them without those. They can't set them up. After that, Sam tweeted an update at, 7:30, so 45 minutes before kickoff. Now, again, assuming I wasn't there, I imagine this would be a situation where Sam will already be in the ground, someone at the club will have seen the tweet, and then he'll have been given the club line, which was the update was City said that 1894 did not apply for accreditations for Villa, and that had they done so, they would have been granted, which is a nice, tidy PR win for City until at 10:20, after 1894 have watched and enjoyed a fine performance
on
the 1894 account.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so. I'm saying the club was notified well in advance we were doing a display tonight on the 13th of March at 2:36 p.m. Now, I should say there isn't a screen grab of any email to the club there, but it's a weirdly specific date and time to make up. I think my take on this is that if we were to look at ticket price rises, as clubs being cynical, which I think across the Premier League they all are being, putting it out in the international break before the biggest game of the season against Arsenal was maybe a bit of a time to bury bad news. I dare say if they'd just let that banner be up before the game and 1894 took it down at their leisure, we wouldn't still be talking about this. So maybe the club in their kind of iffy handling of this, to say the least, have done us a favour that people aren't just getting on with the football and focusing on the end to another exciting season. This is still part of the conversation. So, yeah, I think it's probably the opposite effect that City have been going for, but here we are.
Hey, son, got a great... You know, if that banner had stayed up, no one would be talking about prices now. You know, the news moves on. The prices are coming in either way, let's be honest. Not that I don't appreciate the efforts, you know, at protest. The PR at this club sometimes just backwards.
It's good to see that we've got one thing right that we've retained from the 90s and the 2000s, and that is just appalling. There's one section of the club that is clearly appalling, and it's the PR department, who just love to find themselves in the middle of a PR disaster. And the thing that I find the most staggering is, for a football club that is desperate to not have negative headlines, they don't really seem to understand how to control a narrative, how to engage with the media in times of trouble, how to engage with supporters in times of trouble. It's just overall very, very, very disappointing. And I mean, I don't want to get all your dark, but it is a bit modern football-y. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it is probably a Premier League thing. I think most of the people in the boardrooms at Premier League clubs are so out of touch and so far removed from the reality of the day-to-day supporter that they don't, yeah, I mean, they don't really know what they're doing. I think what I find surprising is that a club the size of City, with the money that City have, record profits, lads, right? So you've got record profits. If you've got record profits, then, you know, stick a little bit of those record profits into having good PR and understanding what supporters are like and understanding what, you know, I mean, just like that as Dom has just put it on the table, is frankly appalling. So you've effectively told a lie. You've told a barefaced lie. And what, you think 1894 are not going to reply to that? Come.
You think they've not kept receipts?
Come on. Do you know what I mean? They're lucky that Phil Foden played as well as he did last night and the team played as well as they did last night. Because otherwise, I'd just sit here for an hour and slag them off.
I just think one thing I'd say sort of slightly in reply to that is that, and this is my impression, and I might not be on the money here, but I think I am. In terms of actual people that work in PR and comms for the club, I mean, I know there are City fans who work in there, and in terms of day-to-day dealings with sorting out press conferences, sorting out player interviews afterwards, things like that, they're spot on and they're decent people. But the impression I get around City is there is a very short leash from the ownership and the sort of the top tier of executives and the PR team in terms of what the PR team can actually do and say. You know, I mean, I think it's a different topic, but I think we've spoken in the past about how frustrating around the Premier League charges, the UEFA case, going back to that, how there was very, very little put out from the club. My sense is that perhaps some people who work in comms would like to do more, but it's sort of like anything that's kind of bad news or dissent, which, you know, UEFA charges and Premier League charges are bad news, a fan banner is dissent. I think that's kind of, it's a thing to be nipped in the bud and you move on with Manchester City, the forward-facing global brand. Do you know what I mean? So I think some of the bad PR, what looked like bad PR decisions, and looking at the way last night has unfolded around 1894, it definitely is. I do think there's an element of short leashes and hands being tied a little bit.
They need someone who understands. I mean, look at politics for how these things play out.
It's really, you know, thick of it, isn't it? That whole, the way that's all gone, by the way.
you know how this, how if you try and stop something, it actually snowballs and becomes even bigger. They should have people intelligent enough to know how this plays out when they do stuff like this. It's fair, you made a good point, Don. There's so many brilliant people working at that club, and City fans are just genuine, you know, and people like us, obviously, when I attack the club, I really am thinking top slice. And not everyone, you know, it's generalisation sometimes. I'm talking executives and people making big decisions at some time, you know. Not obviously everyone at the club's just part of some, Pravda-type operation where all dissent is stopped. But, God, they can shoot themselves in the foot sometimes. It's just ridiculous, yeah. Anyway, should we talk football instead?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Hey, San, did you go into the game with nerves for what was a must-win game? I bizarrely had none whatsoever.
No, not really.
I had a what will be kind of attitude now. That's gone now. I'm back into the title race.
Yeah.
Now I'm nervous about Saturday's game. But anyway, yeah, how did you feel?
So it's funny because I was pretty relaxed going into the game. But I think partially that was because I was meeting a friend of mine who's he's from Manchester, but he lives in London, and his partner is Ibithenko, and so they were coming over here to visit her family, and he'd said to me ages ago, let's watch the Villa game together. So I went out for a couple of hours before the game, and that was cool. I felt pretty relaxed, but I also knew something, Howard, and I knew that, so we've kind of reached that point where every game's a cup final, and when every game's a cup final and it feels really shit or bust, you know that during the game your kind of emotional barometer is going to go from 0 to 60 a lot faster than it does for most of the season. Because for most of the season, whatever happens in the game, it's sort of, you can always sort of shrug your shoulders and go, but there's always next week. There isn't next week anymore. So it was lively at my place. Let's put it that way. It was definitely lively at my place, particularly after Villa scored the equaliser. Then it got a bit gnarly for a few minutes.
Gnarly, like it. Done the team, plenty of big calls, some might say, and you called it.
I would say I didn't call it because I did expect.
Oh, don't be so modest.
No, I mean, we're into stock clocks being right twice a day here, aren't we? But,
hang on, yeah, you knew, didn't you? Somebody had worded you up. I was thinking about that when I was out on my run this morning. I was like, you know what, Dom Farrell is not that prescient, right? Definitely, somebody at the club gave him the nudge. There'd be no Haaland, so he thought, I know, I'm gonna go after this one. Sorry, Dom.
Yeah, I mean, if the club weren't spending so much time leaking me team news, they could communicate better around ticket prices, right?
Separate team for that, yeah.
Yeah, very possibly. Genuinely, it was just kind of looking at how City have been playing lately and how De Bruyne and Haaland have been playing, how they're not going to play absolutely every single game, the type of opponent Villa were, and also, I put this in the piece I wrote about before the game. I think that little period of the season in December around the Club World Cup, when Foden and Alvarez basically just carried the attack, I think it's a little bit of an underrated period of City season. And yeah, it just felt like Villa were the sort of team that would be a good thing to do against. Again, and it's part of, like, you know, maybe this is from my point of view, spending so many years listening to Guardiola press conferences and kind of sort of try your best to get into his head. But the thing he says a lot about when teams, you can't let them run and they kill you. And you saw that with Villa's counter-tackle. Villa are definitely one of those teams that Guardiola will be obsessed about trying to not let them run. And a way to do that is to get as many players in the team as possible who are sort of engaged in all sort of bits of the game. And obviously, no one's talking about none of this means that Haaland and De Bruyne aren't going to have massive parts to play for the rest of the season and aren't two of the very best players any of us have ever seen. But in terms of how they're playing right now, you're not getting the maximum sort of in and out of possession with everyone on the pitch. But just little things like, say, how De Bruyne is coming back from hamstring injury, how he, and at his age now, isn't able to press the way that some guys are. The way that, you know, Julian Alvarez is obviously nowhere near the goal scorer Haaland is and never will be, but there are little bits that he can give you, like, you know, like straight from the start, just setting the tone with what he does from the front. I just felt like it it made sense. So I was pleasantly surprised actually when I saw it, to be honest. And yeah, it was it's nice to occasionally look like you know what you're talking about.
I hope you retweeted that when the team came out.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.